If not now, tell me when. If not now, tell me when.
From Bloomington, Indiana, welcome to Prescription for Healthcare on WFHB Community Radio, sponsored by Medicare for All Indiana Bloomington. I'm Karen Greenstone, along with Dr. Rob Stone.
Hello.
This is the second piece of an interview that we did with Dr. Walter Tsu. He is the past president of the American Public Health Association and former health commissioner of Philadelphia. He is a board advisor to Physicians for a National Health Program, PNHP, and an expert in public health reform and healthcare financing. He was a primary care physician as well. Let's talk about healthcare being a public good rather than a marketing tool for creating extreme wealth for drug companies, hospitals, insurance giants, et cetera.
Thank you for inviting me to talk about this. I've been in this world of debates on healthcare reform for a long time as Rob Stone. And we have these discussions about, should we do single payer? Do we need to do multi-payer? And then we have most of the public who says, what about married people versus single people? And people get too confused about all of these terms that we bandy about. And I think we need to go back to basic questions and concepts that Americans maybe more intuitively can understand, which is whether healthcare itself should be a public good or should it be a market commodity? Because how we answer those two questions, I think, should tell us a lot about how our healthcare reform debate should go. And unfortunately, most of the discussions that you read about don't talk about this basic philosophical question about whether healthcare should be a public good or should it be a market commodity. And we could start off by asking ourselves, what is a public good? Public goods are things that we individually could not really afford to do ourselves, but maybe collectively, if we put our minds and our money together, we can actually achieve. So the biggest examples are things like national defense is a public good. The environmental protection is a public good. Our roads and bridges are public goods. Our hospitals, our public education system, our schools and firehouses and police stations are considered public goods because we all depend upon them. We couldn't actually individually pay for them, but if we collectively put our money together, we could actually achieve that. I would argue that healthcare is a public good, and that if we can afford to have the type of high-tech services that we as Americans come to expect, and we could actually use our government resources to maybe negotiate better fee schedules on behalf of the American people so that we can get a much more affordable healthcare system than we have right now. And unfortunately, we have moved as a country in the other direction, where increasingly we think healthcare is way too expensive, that if you don't have health insurance or you don't have any money to buy health insurance, you're out of luck and you basically don't get healthcare. And from a moral perspective, that is just an unacceptable way of running a healthcare system. And increasingly, we're not just talking poor people. The middle class can't afford healthcare anymore. And unless you're Elon Musk or someone who is in the billionaire class, I can almost guarantee you could be faced with a $1 million bill, and even millionaires would be bankrupted or feel bankrupted by some of the hospital bills that come out of our healthcare system. The system doesn't work really for Americans. It costs too much, it covers too few, and it hurts too many people.
I've heard you talk before about this idea of skin in the game, that people with insurance are still required to pay parts for their care so that they somehow talk a little bit about how.
This is a concept called consumer-driven healthcare. And the idea is that if you have some skin in the game, that is to say, if you have these high copays and deductibles where you then suddenly are going to be much more price conscious and you're going to figure out where is the cheapest place to get my MRI scan or my CBC and DIF or whatever x-ray or ultrasound tests that you need. And supposedly, you're going to shop around to different hospitals or ambulatory care groups, and you're going to find the place where you can get these services at the cheapest cost. And that's frankly fiction in the world. Nobody does that. It is way too complicated, too difficult for most Americans to try to figure out, and it would be unfair to ask them to figure out what is the cheapest place to get any of your services. Part of the absurdity of this is that they publish in Pennsylvania, it's in an effort to believe something called price transparency, where is the cheapest place that you can have your aortic aneurysm repaired? What do you can imagine? You're bleeding out from this aortic aneurysm. You're supposed to go to the computer and figure out which hospital can do this for the least cost, and then go there. And maybe it's 30 miles away from where you are. But this is the kind of absurd healthcare consumerism that we've created in America under a market-based approach to healthcare, which nobody does. That's not how we should do healthcare in our country. And unfortunately, that's the way the health system is. You're going to hear under the next 4 years that we're going to cut healthcare costs by doing price transparency. We've been talking about transparency for decades. Nobody does it. Nobody's looks this stuff up. And even if they could find it, that's assuming you can find this information. It is really an absurd concept, this market-based approach to healthcare costs.
And that's also if you could actually find somebody to talk to.
That's true. Because unlike other countries, like Cuba, as an example, where you might be able to find, exactly where your primary care doctor is, try finding a primary care doctor. Try calling their office up and trying to get them to get you to get a referral or whatever service you need. It's very hard to get appointments nowadays with primary care with any doctor, because it's my classmates in medical school. The ones that have made the most money are the ones who stopped practicing medicine. They actually they work for the insurance companies. They became hospital executives or something. They didn't want to practice medicine anymore. That's how backwards the whole system is. We should be rewarding the doctors who practice medicine and take care of patients. And instead, we reward the doctors who decide how to ration how much money we're going to give out to pay for healthcare services. That is wrong.
Could you talk a little bit about this idea? Because we hear that, oh, if we went to a system like they have in England or in Germany, that healthcare would be rationed. And that sounds like it, they draw these pictures of the bread lines in Russia under Stalin or something like that. But it seems like we actually ration healthcare by ability to pay.
Absolutely. I don't want to say that a poorly financed healthcare system won't end up at rationing care. It has to be properly financed. And there is a sweet spot where you can be efficient about delivering healthcare services and also paying for the services in the most beneficial way that is respectful of the taxpayers or the employers who are paying the bills. But we don't do that in America. We have a healthcare system where you're allowed to share the profits with shareholders and stockholders. And so they're the ones who actually own your company. And these for-profit companies or for-profit hospitals are constantly trying to figure out how can we skimp on the amount of care that we can give and pay for so that we can maximize our profit for the shareholders. That's a very ridiculous and an inhumane way of looking at our healthcare system. And if healthcare was a public good, we wouldn't actually think about healthcare as a way of making huge profits and so on. We would actually use it as a way of getting people better and figuring out how do we improve the type of healthcare delivery system that we have so that more people can be included into our healthcare delivery system and use our technology to improve life expectancy.
It seems we're in a really amazing time right now in January of 2025, where on the one hand, it seems like healthcare has just gotten worse as a delivery system, as a cost, as a burden on the American public. And we have this unusual circumstance with the assassination of the CEO of United Health, which was certainly a brutal, unforgivable act, and yet it has unleashed an amount of anger towards, expressed particularly towards the insurance companies, like I've not seen in my years of organizing. Is there some good that could come out of this?
I start off by saying that I totally condemn anybody who uses violence to try to make a point. The way we try to change the system is through the ballot box and through our letters and op-eds and meeting with our elected leaders to try to get them to understand the unnerving about what's happening in our healthcare system. I think part of the frustration is that people have been complaining for years, decades, that our healthcare system doesn't work. It was this unfortunate moment that has provoked this enormous public outcry and public discussion. It shouldn't take something this tragic to force us to have a sort of a reckoning or thinking about what we should be doing. But it goes to, I think, my original premise, which I started this talk, which is we should go back and ask ourselves, what do we want in our healthcare system? Is healthcare a public good, or is it a market commodity? If we insist that it should be a market commodity, then we're going to expect to have much more of the kind of cruel system and a bureaucratic system that we have right now, with pre-authorizations, in-and-out network doctors, all these other crazy co-pays and deductibles that are unique to America, as opposed to whether, if it was a public good, I think we would be rethinking entirely how we would deliver our healthcare system. We would be putting more emphasis on primary care and making a more robust primary care doctor patient relationship. And we would also be thinking about something like a single payer national health insurance system that we would use to pay for it, so that all the profit really is not to inure to a few CEOs, but to back to the American people or to the American taxpayers. I have no doubt that we could provide as good, if not better, health care in America for less money than we spend right now. And we can only do it much more efficiently, I think, through a single payer national health insurance system.
And so it sounds like that is your prescription for healthcare.
Yes.
Is there anything more you'd like to say about what we've been talking about? And we
I want to be clear, single payer by itself is not the solution. It's just single payer is just a way we finance healthcare. Our healthcare delivery system has to change. It has to be much more primary care oriented. It has to be more prevention and public health oriented. It is far cheaper for a single payer system to realize that a 20-year investment in clean water, clean air, nutritious foods, reducing environmental toxins in our environment, rather than pay for the cancer or disabilities or the adverse consequences of having not made those prevention and public health investments, if we actually make those investments, we will save money in the long run. But because the marketplace only thinks in maybe two or 3 year increments, we don't think long term in our healthcare system, and we don't make the investments in public health and prevention and primary care that we should. And if we do that, which we could do if we believe the healthcare is a public good, then I think we would actually have a much more robust and better healthcare system.
Dr. Walter Hsu, thank you for joining us today, and thank you for being a constant example of leadership and advocacy in public health and protecting your patients in our communities.
Thank you.
This concludes our two-part interview with Dr. Walter Hsu. Please go to Prescription for Healthcare on the WFHB website to hear the first interview that was originally broadcast in January. This is Karen Greenstone and Dr. Rob Stone for Prescription for Healthcare on WFHB Community Radio in Bloomington, Indiana. To your good health, everyone, stay safe, and thank you for listening.
We may never see this moment or place and time again, if not now, if not now.